Interesting, actually, on the great Asian train journeys, one of the great, quite well-known British presenters, Michael Portillo, actually went from Hanoi down to Da Nang and said it was a most wonderful experience by train, and he actually could actually stop off in Wei on the way down there. But yeah, like you say, you probably need maybe a 2 or 3 week trip to do something like that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you can even keep going after Da Nang. I mean, go down to Quinon and Nha Trang and Mui Ne, and you'll end up reaching Ho Chi Minh City. You can stop out in Vung Tau and play the bluffs down in South Vietnam, see the Mekong Delta. But if you've got a lot of time and you want to spend some good cash and really get a lot of culture and good golf and food in there, that would be awesome to take the train down, definitely.
A quick question about the traffic. You said that the distance is a bit too far away, but what about the traffic situation for a Westerner to come to drive there? I mean, it can be a little bit chaotic to be in some Asian areas.
Yeah, it's quite an adventure. If you're a risk taker, absolutely go for it. Get on a motorbike and close your eyes and hope, I would say. No, you can. I mean, you can rent a motorbike or whatever. A lot of the traffic is motorbike. Hanoi is famous for it. Saigon as well. Da Nang is a bit more open. People could rent a car, I suppose, or rent a motorbike and zip around the beaches and up the coast. You know, it just depends how adventurous you are. But Da Nang isn't as bad traffic-wise as Hanoi or Saigon, for sure.
Obvious, yeah. Okay, thanks.
Are you pretty similar in transfer times for golf? I know Hanoi can be quite lengthy, and I think Saigon's a little bit the same as Bangkok in many ways, that it can be sort of an hour, yeah, hour and a half of transfers, right?
Yeah. So, Da Nang is more similar to Hoa Hin, really, where they've got two courses that are 10-minute drive down from central Da Nang, downtown Da Nang. If you go a little bit further away, you've got Banna Hills, which is 45 minutes. You've got Vinpro, which is about 40 minutes. Hoi An Shores and Laguna Lanco, just over an hour. So of the six courses, yeah, four of them are within 40 minutes, which is great. So here you can see the golf. There are six courses in the Da Nang area, four of which are top level A-class courses. The top left there, you've got Laguna Lanco, which is just north of Da Nang. There is a Ang Sana Hotel up there and a banyan tree as well. So if someone wants to do a bit of a stay and play, that's possible. The golf course is phenomenal. It's set in rice paddies. And it's kept up to top nick throughout the year. They've put cart paths in recently, so you don't have cart tire marks on the fairways anymore. That used to be a problem there, but now it's phenomenal. A few of the holes, as you can see, play along the ocean. The one in the top right is Banna Hills. Ian, am I safe to say that's your favorite up there? Or
no, actually, my favorite is the Greg Norman course, the BIG.
Okay.
Yeah, the Dune course. I think that's probably still my favourite in Asia. Although the one that you're looking at in the bottom left screen, that the new Trent Jones design, that actually wasn't open when I was over there, but that looks as though it's going to take over as the number one course. It just looked absolutely out. The last four or five holes are designed right by the ocean. So when you finish there, it's absolutely spectacular. But I'm not even sure. I think the clubhouse is not fully open yet.
Yeah, not yet. Yeah. So the clubhouse is still not fully open. There's no like toilets and snack shacks on the way around. So it's still a work in progress. But the golf course at Hoi An Shores, which is the one in the bottom left there, the golf course is open and you can play. We've got golfers out there. And then on the bottom right would be BRG Da Nang. They've just opened their final nine holes at BRG Da Nang. So it is now a 36-hole complex. You've got a Norman course and you've got a Nicholas course out there. So those are probably the top four. There's two others, one being Vinpearl, which is kind of a resort-style course. Not overly difficult, but again, in good nick. And then you've got another one, which is Montgomery Links, Colin Montgomery design. It's right beside BRG Da Nang. BRG Da Nang and Montgomery Links are just 10 minutes from central Da Nang.
And am I right in saying there's some night golf at Banna Hills as well?
There is also night golf at Banna Hills, yeah. So you can see in the picture of Banna Hills in the top right, they've got the floodlight stands going up the right side of the fairway there, the 10th hole there. So you can play night golf there as well, which is a neat experience. If you've never done it, it's great. And Banna Hills is just, as you can see, set in amongst loads of rainforest and nature and that. So it's really, it's quite a good experience in the day and at night. Yeah. All right, so next we'll go, where do you stay? There's two main areas in Da Nang where you can stay. One would be downtown, which is where all the restaurants, the nightlife, the markets, the shopping would be. Hilton on the left there, that would be one of the main hotels in downtown Da Nang, 5-star. There are a few other ones down there. Hilton's quite new, gives good quality though, and I recommend that. If you go a little bit further south of Da Nang downtown, you get to Maikee Beach, which is where the Pullman Da Nang is. Pullman Da Nang would be the picture on the right, located right along the beach. Definitely a beach resort. The quality of the service, the rooms, everything is brilliant. You would need to jump an Uber or something to get into town to have dinner in there. It's a bit of a hike. If you want to walk, you can, but it's just a bit of a ways. But for people who are looking just play golf, come back, relax, chill out at the hotel, that's definitely the hotel that you'd want to put them at. There's obviously more, but these are sort of, you know, the top hotels in each of the areas. And if you want to stay in Hoi An, the picture on the left is the Anantara Hoi An. It's a beautiful hotel, very much a boutique style hotel. It's not overly big. It's got typical Anantara service, Anantara quality. It's a little bit further out of town, out of Hoi An, but definitely worth it. The picture on the right is Hotel Royal. It's an Sofitel M Gallery hotel. It is smack dab in the heart of Hoi An. So you're a 5-minute walk to get to the Red Bridge, to get to ancient Hoi An, all the markets, the restaurants there that come with it. You can ride a little boat up the river and that with the Vietnamese umbrella. And that's, we find a lot of our people like to stay at Hotel Royal Hoi An just because the location is so good. And the hotel's really neat. It's kind of got an old feel to it, but obviously great Sofitel quality.
Is that quite new?
Fairly new, yeah. They've just opened a new wing in it as well about a year and a half ago, David. So it's, and they keep it up really well as well. But it's, I would say it's probably about 5 years old, maybe.
Fantastic sky bar as well they've got up there, right?
Yeah, really good. I had a group of ladies there last August, and they, every day after golf, they just went up there, watched the sunset, had a great time at the top of the bar, and then walked up into town and had meals at all the different restaurants that you can go to. It's really ideal, that hotel, the M Gallery there.
So where was it from Hoi An Center?
That's in Hoi An, just south of Da Nang, yeah.
How far from Hoi An Center is it?
5-minute walk.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Where would you choose, AJ? Would you prefer to stay in Hoi An or Da Nang itself?
Depends who I'm going with. If I'm going with you, I want to stay in Da Nang. If I was to go with my girlfriend, say, probably Hoi An. It's just a bit more quaint in Hoi An, it's a bit more quiet, and it's a bit more culture to it. If you're going with a group of guys or you want to have a bit more of a nightlife and be out and amongst it, I would say Da Nang's probably the better place to be.
Yeah.
I would assume you think the same, Ian?
Yeah, I took my ladies group there from Dubai. There were 36 of us that went there, and they absolutely loved the Royal Hotel and exactly what you were saying there about the Sky Bar, fantastic breakfast. Just being able to walk out on a night and feel totally safe and, you know, have 30 or 40 restaurants, you know, within a 10-minute walk. It's a big attraction. Yeah, no doubt about it.
And also Hoi An has all the small Vietnamese shops where you can buy the conical hats, the Vietnamese dresses, and all the souvenirs that the ladies like. The tailor shops where you can get your own leather shoes done. A lot more romantic than Da Nang. It's a UNESCO World Heritage City.
Well, they call it the Lantern Town. You know,
yeah.
At night when you're going
to have a photo,
the lanterns are all lit up. It's absolutely gorgeous.
So the bottom right there is the Red Bridge in Hoi An. It's, you'll see it in 100 photos out of 100. It's very popular. Just off to the right would be the market and those yellow buildings. The market seems to go forever, and it's all authentic Vietnamese goods. It's not any of these knockoff Nike shirts or anything. They're all authentic, handmade, really good price. You know, they're not really ripping people off in there, which is nice. And as you get walking through all the small little streets, you do really feel like you're back in ancient Hoi An, as it would have been years and years and years ago. It's a very, very unique experience to walk through all of that. Yeah. And some other places. So in the top right, you've got Maison from Hoi An. It's just right, just south of Hoi An. It's in the obviously ancient ruins, as you can see. On the top left is the Golden Bridge at Banna Hills, which is recently open. That is obviously the view there is phenomenal. There's also the theme park up at Banna Hills, and they've got the gardens, the botanical gardens, so you can kind of combine that as a day trip. You wouldn't probably be able to do it after golf. It's more of a full day thing, unless you're just going to visit the bridge, then you could combine it. And then the bottom left is Hue. That's, you know, the old central Vietnam capital, rich with culture, some great authentic food options while you're up there too, that we include in the tours that we do. So there's, as you can see, there's some really good experiences that you can have when you're up there in Da Nang. But Pascal. All right, so this is Northern Vietnam. Obviously, Ha Long Bay there, stunningly beautiful. Ian, how many days do you think you could spend on Ha Long Bay?
Well, still going back 5 years, I think the best golf tour I've ever done was starting off in the north, where we did Hanoi and Ha Long Bay, flew down to Da Nang about an hour, and then after golfing Da Nang, flew another hour down south to Saigon and finished down there with playing the bluffs. That's still the best golf trip I think I've ever done. That was probably the a most amazing mixture of culture, sightseeing, unbelievable golf that I've ever experienced. So you'd have to convince me about that. I absolutely love it. I would think the ideal combination would probably be 3 or 4 days in Hanoi, maybe 3 days, a couple of nights in Ha Long Bay in the north. They're about 3 hours apart. Ideally, you'll probably stay in Hanoi in the old quarter. That's got a lot of attractions there. Very vibrant city with lots of cafes and restaurants. The golf is pretty spectacular too, with the likes of Kings Island, Sky Lake, Stone Valley, and my own personal favourite, Van Tree. So after leaving Hanoi, you would probably drive 3 hours down to Ha Long Bay. Again, 3 nights would be ideal down there, staying in the FLC Grand. Certainly play Ha Long Bay Golf Course, which you can see over my behind me, which is one of the most spectacular. Yeah, the top left shot there is Ha Long Bay. There's 3 or 4 par threes there that are just the most spectacular views that you'll ever see in your life. Brian Curley designed the golf course. There's some holes that are not that great, but it's still a wonderful experience and you should do it. In the top right there, there's Sky Lake. Again, a tournament venue. Amazing scenery. Bottom left, you've got Kings Island. It's actually got 3 courses. It's quite unique because it is actually on an island. And you have to get a speedboat across to the golf courses. And the Mountain View course and the Kings course there is as good as anything you'll play anywhere. Bottom right is Stone Valley. Right is Stone Valley. There, just a note about that. I mean, the scenery there is quite spectacular. And they actually filmed Godzilla there. So that's even though it's an hour outside Hanoi, some of the scenery is again quite spectacular.
In getting to the golf courses, as we kind of discussed before, you got to give yourself a little more time in Hanoi, not only for traffic, but just the pure distance away from town, right?
Yeah, both Hanoi and both Saigon are quite similar to Bangkok in many ways, that you're going to catch the traffic one way or the other, and you've got to allow for an hour and a quarter there and back just to get out of the city.
Yeah, sure.
That Ha Long Bay course is quite new, isn't it? I wasn't there when I was there.
It's about a year and a half old. Right. Year and a half, yeah. I know Brian, I actually spoke to the designer, Brian Curley, and he wasn't that happy with 3 or 4 holes, but the way he's designed it, he's got like 4 par threes that are actually facing the islands of Ha Long Bay, which is a World Heritage UNESCO site. And you've got to play it. It's just a once in a lifetime experience that you should play. It is a the views are just outstanding.
Have you guys all done the junk cruise then?
Yeah, phenomenal. Yeah,
that was kind of part of what we did, and although you can do a day cruise, I think the overnight cruise is possibly even better. It's there in the bottom right-hand corner there, and you sort of get board the boat about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, take a tour around the islands, and I had a cabin like the one in the bottom left there as well, and it moors up about 6 o'clock, and they do a Vietnamese cooking class, and then everybody sits down to eat what you've just made. You go to your cabin, wake up the next morning, and do a 3 or 4 hours cruising again. Again, once in a lifetime that you really should do, and there's 3 or 4 very good cruise company that offer a fabulous service.
And some of the cruises also offer, you know, you can get in the kayaks and kayak in through these caves, and you've got these limestone cliffs just sticking up above you. It's great. They've got, you know, fishing, old fishing setups that are run by families, and you go by and you see them, see what they're doing. There's activities to do on the boat as well, whether you want to sit on the top deck and lounge out while it cruises, or if you want to, you know, do some day excursions off the boat for a couple of hours, you have the flexibility to do that.
Yeah, there's a couple of attractions there of Hanoi. In the top right, you've got the Ho Chi Minh Mausoleum. Top left, you've got the water puppet show. And then you've got the lake in the bottom left that everybody walks around, and is right in the center of Hanoi. And then one of the great Asian train journeys there, you've got the journey that goes literally so close to all the people. It's quite something. We sat in a restaurant there and watched the train come through, and it's literally 2 feet from where you're eating. It's something I've never experienced, but that's why I love Hanoi. It's all hustle and bustle, very friendly people. Love the old quarter, love the restaurants there. It was quite special.
Hanoi is known for its pho soup, so if you're there or anyone's there, recommend they have a pho in Hanoi. Great.
Amazing.
Soup. Really, really, really,
how
really
do you spell
good.
That? Yeah. AJ, how do you spell that soup?
Pho.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Oh, it's phenomenal. Yeah.
We have it every time we go. Twice a day, at least. And then the minh binh, the Vietnamese sandwiches, they're also quite something.
Now, Ian, in Hanoi, the Metropole is, would you say, is the top 5-star hotel there? The Kim Trump Summit Hotel?
Yeah, that's quite unique in lots of ways. It's not actually on there, but the Metropole Legend Hotel.
Yeah, top left.
Is that it?
I thought
it was.
That's a Sofitel.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And right there, they've actually got the underground shelter where all the guests used to shelter when the Americans were bombing Hanoi. And 3 o'clock every day, you can go down there and actually visit underground, and you see pictures of what was happening in sort of 1974-73. It's quite unique. Top hotel, very expensive but very unique. I was more than happy in the moment picking the old quarter. It was more reasonably priced, but if any of your customers want something special, certainly the Metropole, you would consider that.
The Mövenpick hasn't got a restaurant, has it? I don't think for dinner. I stayed there, I think.
Yes, it has. As you can order there. There's like a bar area in as you walk in on the right hand side. And it's more like you can order food there. It's not. You're right in this respect. It's not really a sit-down restaurant, but you can order food there. But I think the attraction of the old quarter and being in amongst it, that within 5 minutes walk you can be within, you know, you can have 20 restaurants within 5-10 minutes walk.
When I stayed there about 4 years ago for a couple of nights, I was out for a night out. And I got caught in a typhoon, mini typhoon. Like trees coming up out of the pavement, all sorts of shit. Really amazing.
Oh, wow. So you were there around September then, right? September, October?
No, it was May.
In May.
That's unusual. The one thing I was going to mention about Hanoi is that you really should avoid December and January. It does get quite cold and drizzly and quite misty at that time. So if you can avoid those 2 months, then the rest of the time is pretty much okay.
Right.
Moving on to Saigon or Ho Chi Minh, whichever you prefer to call it. To me, it doesn't really have the same attraction as Hanoi. Still worth going to, though. It's a very much more of a modern city is Saigon. More nightclubs and shopping malls. There's a lot more reminders of the Vietnam War with a lot of museums. And, of course, the well-known Chu Chi tunnels, which the Viet Cong soldiers were actually hiding from the Americans. That's quite something to see, but not something you can do if you're claustrophobic, that's for sure. Similar to Bangkok, the golf transfers are quite long, even though they've got some good courses like Twin Dubs, Long Tan, and the Vietnam Country Club. And if you're going down to Saigon, you certainly should play the Bluffs. That's the Greg Norman design golf course that's 2 hours south of Saigon, and that's consistently voted the number one golf course in Vietnam. I did it in one day. It's a bit of a long day. It's a couple of hours journey, so you're probably better off staying at the Grand Hotel down in Ho Tram, where there's a casino, and probably playing the Bluffs twice. It's that good, and it's well worth playing twice. And that's the one thing I'd want to go back and play. Is the Bluffs course. It was that good.
Where do you stay down there, Ian?
It's the Grand. It's a casino. There's only one hotel there.
What's the resort?
Bun Tao?
Well, the hotel is called the Grand Ho Tram Strip.
Grand Ho Tram Strip.
Yeah.
That's in Bun Tao. That's a...
Bun Tao, okay. Yeah.
At the coast.
Okay.
But there's not
a new course.
Sorry, David.
Is that a new course, the Bluffs?
No, it's probably about 6 years old now, I'm guessing there. They had the Ho Tram open there 3 years ago that Sergio Garcia won, and there was quite a lot of publicity around that course when it opened. Lovely clubhouse. So Greg Norman design. He's still got his locker there, number one, with his golf clubs inside it, as Greg Norman. But amazing golf course.
How many days in Saigon you think, Ian? 2 to 3?
2 to 3, yeah. I mean, whichever combination that you do, whether you do 3 nights in Hanoi and 2 nights in Ha Long Bay, or you just do like what you said in Da Nang and maybe finish it off by, you know, seeing Saigon. Both got its attractions. I just prefer Hanoi in the north.
Yeah. I'll be with you. Hanoi's my favorite city in Asia. I just think it's got so much culture, so much character to it. You can't go wrong. It's really, really nice up there. The people are great as well.
I'm with you on that. I love it too.
All right. So I think that's kind of the breakdown of the three main spots in Vietnam. There's obviously some little smaller spots which you could include on a trip, but more or less everyone's going to be doing a combination of those three spots. So we'll open it up for any questions and look forward to seeing what you guys think about it.
Yeah, so please unmute your microphone if you would like to ask something.
What's the second course at BRG, the Nicholas course, like compared to the Greg Norman course? I played the Greg Norman course, but the Nicholas course wasn't there like 2015, I think it wasn't built.
Nowhere near as good in my opinion.
Yeah. Right. Is it different style? Because it's very linksy, isn't it?
So it is a different style. I mean, that's why they call the Greg Norman the June course. It's very, very natural. The Nicholas course, a little bit more Americanized, more water. Doesn't have the kind of linksy feel to it in that respect. Still, it was still pretty good. I mean, it's still like an 8 out of 10 golf course. I just don't think it's as good as the June course designed by Greg Norman. Just as another note there that we didn't mention, Nha Trang is another good destination that you could easily have 2 or 3 nights there. And Greg Norman also designed another golf course there called Cameron Links. And that is spectacular too. There's also a Vinh Pearl course there. A lot of the Vietnamese kind of go on holiday there. It's a kind of their holiday place. Vinh Pearl is actually on an island, and the Cameron Links has been open about 2 years now. And that's well worth playing too if you want to pitch a 3-night trip in there, and a Trang's worth considering.
How would you get there from Da Nang?
You can fly, you can drive.
you can fly into the airport. I think the airport's called Cameron itself. So it's Cameron. You can fly into there. It's only about 40 minutes flight.
Well, how do you rate the Montgomery Lynx? I didn't play it. I had a look at it.
Yeah, pretty good. I think it's about 7 or 8 out of 10. Again, if you're looking for the best courses, I think you'd sort of say Hoy on the Shore would be number one, BRG number two. The Faldo course over in Laguna Lanco that AJ mentioned, that's also an excellent golf course. So I think you'd be down at sort of 3 or 4 in the area, Montgomery Lynx. It's still pretty good. Might be the one that you open up with, but I don't think it's in quite in the same league as BRG or Hoy on the Shores.
Could you play, you know, the course at Halang Bay? Could you sort of combine? Would it work out with the timing of the boat cruises?
Yeah.
To play that course on the way back rather than on the way there, or what do you think?
On the way there, you'd have to do it the actual. Now then, which way did I do it? I played golf in the morning and then went to board the boat. I think it's about. Any ideas, AJ? It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I think you board the boat. So
I think it depends on the boat that you go on, but the embarkation time is between 2 and 4 in the afternoon. So yeah. You're probably best, you drive out there, you stay one night at the Grand FLC Grand Hotel, you play the golf in the morning, and then from there you get right onto the boat and do the boat cruise 1 or 2 nights, whatever you want, and then get back off. You get back to the pier at 11 in the morning, so... If you're all right playing at 1:30, you could, but then you'd have to stay overnight. You'd just get back to Hanoi far too late. But it depends really how you want to set it up. It's possible for both, though.
I think I'd do it how you did it, AJ. That's how I did it, too. I played in the morning, went and joined the cruise in the afternoon. By the time I disembarked from the cruise, I still had plenty of time to get to either Haiphong Airport or Hanoi Airport, which allows your connection to move on. So I'd do it that way.
Yeah.
If you're coming into Hanoi, I think what I did with my groups is that they stayed in the city first and then they went on the boat cruise after 3 nights or something like that, 2 or 3 nights. You wouldn't do it the other way around, would you?
Nah, I think after someone, especially for a long haul flight, you get into Hanoi and, you know, it's been a long day. It's best just to get to the hotels, you know, settle in, have a good night's sleep, enjoy Hanoi. If not, you're landing, you're driving 3.5 hours to get up to Halong Bay, and the drive is quite nice as well. So, you know, some people might want to enjoy that a bit more. So it's better if you stay in Hanoi and then pick Hanoi off first, and then head to Halong Bay.
You could actually golf in between traveling from Hanoi down to Halong Bay. There's a golf course there called Chilling Star, which is quite highly rated as well. I went to have a look at it. It looked pretty good. So you could actually play golf on the way down there and then get to the FLC Grand, play golf the next morning and then board your cruise. So there's many options.
Where do you recommend to stay in Saigon and Ho Chi Minh?
I actually just stayed in a 4-star hotel called the Silverland, and it was more than adequate, although a lot of our customers do have the Park Hyatts, highly recommended, quite expensive. The Meridian's quite a nicely priced 5-star, as is the Nikon.
Caravelle would be another one. They've just renovated that, the Caravelle Hotel.
Yeah, I saw that. It's an amazing hotel. That's like really historic, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Yeah.
It's just got really cool.
It's lost a bit of its charm, but it's still nice. Yeah.
Got a real cool rooftop bar, which is like really famous, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. There's also an M Gallery down in Saigon as well. It's a bit, the design's a bit funky, but they've got a good rooftop bar there. So if someone's stuck on that kind of a brand, there's one down there as well.
Another thing worth mentioning is if you are traveling internally with a company like Vietnam Airlines, it's very little to extra to upgrade to business class. So that's actually a good tip and probably well worth doing. You just get that extra luggage allowance and a little bit more comfort up front. And it's, again, it's not that expensive, and you get to use the lounges at the airport by doing it that way too.
And just on that note, Vietnam Airlines, you're allowed to carry golf clubs extra for free. It doesn't get counted into your luggage allowance, so it's definitely worth flying them. I know people see Jetstar and Vietjet, but you know, by the time you do all the add-ons, it's just going to be probably the same price, if not higher. So that's something to consider. Also, for those who do need a visa into Vietnam, they do have the ability to apply online for most nationalities. It's closed at the moment, but when life is normal, you can also get it online via the government ministry's website. It takes about 2 to 3 days, I think. So it's quite easy to get a visa, $25 US, I think. Anybody else, any questions?
What about club rentals?
In Da Nang, we've got some club rentals available. They are Titleist sets, and we can help with that. If you're in Saigon, we've also got club rentals down there. Hanoi, they would need to be done directly with the golf course. And if you just let us know in advance, we can A, get you the price course by course, and B, make sure they set a few sets aside for you to pick from. Not a problem.
Yeah, and for lefties as well?
Yeah, I'm a lefty myself, so they better have them, or I'm not going to recommend them.
Then there is two of us.
All right, nice one. Yeah, good.
How do you rate Fusion Maya Hotel in Da Nang? I think I went to see that. That's pretty nice, isn't it?
Fabulous.
Yeah.
You get like a free massage every day in the deal.
That's the one where you get a treatment free, complimentary every day, right?
Yeah.
You get Naman Retreat. You get that. I know in Naman Retreat you get that as well. Fusion Maya, I believe you do get a massage as well. Yeah. But Naman Retreat, you also get
Naman, 50 minutes. That's right. Yeah.
You get 50-minute spa or massage treatment per person per day during the stay.
Where's that, AJ?
It's just south of Pullman, Da Nang. So it's on the Mikey Beach. Sort of, let's say, 10 to 15 minutes south of the heart of Da Nang.
It's lovely area. It's on the way to the golf course, isn't it? It's on the way to Hoi An, isn't it, AJ?
It is. It's like 5 minutes from BRG Da Nang and Montgomery Links. It's really, really close.
Yeah.
It's on the way to Hoi An.
How do you spell that place, that hotel?
Naman.
Yeah.
Retreat. Retreat.
Naman.
It's lovely. They've got like 1-bedroom units, 2-bedroom units there as well. A couple different pools, and they've got authentic Vietnamese activity day or activity hour every day, so you can go make the umbrellas, clay pots, whatever it is. It's all included, so it's a good stay. It's not cheap, but it's worth it.
If I'm right in thinking, AJ, don't they have some accommodation at the back of the resort called the Babylon Studios that are not quite expensive?
Yes, they do. Like a more studio room, yeah, they have those as well that are a little bit cheaper. Yeah. All right. Anybody else? Any last questions?
So you're not covering Cambodia in this one, though?
No.
Right. Is that a separate one, or are you not doing it?
We'll let you know. It's not on there at the moment, I think, so we'll update you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, once we do the next one, we will send a reminder again. We may do a little change to the schedule for next week.
Very interesting destination, actually, David.
Certainly. I think I went there, Ian.
Yeah, I was in Phnom Penh about 6 weeks ago. First time I'd been there, and wonderful 3 or 4 night stay where you can. A bit depressing as well, actually, but you know when you start go to the killing fields and the S-21 prison. But I think it's something you've got to see, and it's quite hard to imagine that, you know, 30% of the population was wiped out, you know, by the dictator there. It's quite sobering just to see it all. But it's an exciting city. 2 great golf courses, the Garden City, should I say, And there's a new one just opened called Vatanac, which is a Nick Faldo design, which is in the process of building another 18-hole golf course. So there'll be 36 holes there soon. And that golf course I put in my top 10 in Asia. It was fabulous. Really, really good.
Well, the Faldo course?
The Faldo course called Vatanac. Yeah, really, 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 really good golf course. I've never been to Siem Reap, so I can't tell you about that, but certainly Phnom Penh. Four or five days there, well worth doing.
Siem Reap was magic. A couple of nights there, it was fantastic.
Yeah, especially seeing Angkor Wat, and also the courses, they're quite good. Angkor Golf Club, Petra.
There's a Faldo course there, isn't it? The Angkor Wat Golf Club is a Faldo course there.
Yeah,
that's quite good.
Well, I've never been, so that's on my to-do list, Siem Reap.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Do a lot of people combine Bangkok or Thailand trip with Siem Reap, maybe?
Yeah, you would usually combine Cambodia with either Thailand or Vietnam, especially when you come from a long-haul destination like Europe. For Asian people, not so much, but for the European, definitely, that would be a multi-country tour.
Yeah, David, most people are going to fly into either Bangkok or Hanoi or Saigon, so you've really got to connect to get yourself to Phnom Penh, especially Siem Reap, but even so, Phnom Penh. So it's likely they're going to stop in Bangkok, play X number of rounds, X days, and then head over to Cambodia, or same if you do Vietnam.
How's the golf situation in Europe?
Well, the golf course is opening in Portugal now, today, and Spain, Costa del Sol courses are opening today, I think. Doesn't really affect me because nobody can fly anyway, but
okay.
But there's some hotels opening. Panina and Dona Filipa hotels are opening in early June. And they're like the sort of two most popular hotels in Portugal for golfers. But again, you know, that's just, when can UK golfers go and plus stay there? I don't know, we'll play there. But maybe September, October or later, I'm not sure.
Yeah, and a lot of people will probably opt to do some domestic holiday this year.
Well, yeah. That's probably just as dangerous, though. In UK, that is.
Yeah.
It's hard to say what to think, really.
I was watching the first live golf last night with McIlroy and Dustin Johnson in the TaylorMade Challenge. Notice they didn't have caddies. Why do they not have caddies?
I don't know. It was just for charity, wasn't it?
It was nice to see some live golf anyway, put it that way.
I'll try to watch it, but I got bored after about 20 minutes.
Just what struck me was the fact that they didn't have caddies. I was just quite surprised that they didn't have a caddy. Whether that's part of this new distance and they can't get close or whatever, I don't know. But I didn't hear an explanation for it.
Well, there is US PGA Golf live starting in the middle of June, isn't it? Without spectators.
Yeah, I think the first one is at Colonial, isn't it? In Texas, that's the first tour event that's back on track again.
I mean, that would be some proper live golf to watch in a tournament. The format would be good.
Yeah.
I can't imagine when there's going to be rugby union again. You imagine rugby union with scrums and rucks. Imagine all the viruses you're catching that. Could be the last sport to be reintroduced, I reckon.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they just relaunched the Bundesliga in Germany, but without spectators. And a lot of fans are very unhappy about this because it's just not the same atmosphere. A lot of the sports are also about fans partaking in it.
Yeah, German fans are fantastic.
Yeah,
the ambience at German football matches is the best of all, I think.
Certainly at Borussia Dortmund, when you've got the wall, the big yellow wall there, that's for sure.
Yeah.
That is golfing now, isn't it?
Sorry, AJ?
I just said it's not as daunting to play in Dortmund now.
Nope.
Okay.
Okay.
All
right. Well, thank you again for all your time. Really appreciate it that you always take some time out from your work in the mornings to spend with us and learn about our destinations here in Asia. And we hope it was helpful.
What's next week, Costco?
I will send you the email. I will send out the email, and I'm not quite sure. Open. I will take a look. I'm not sure we're doing next week or with the following week. I will let you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, cheerio. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Cheers.